summer can be such a challenging time for sales reps. This week, we're actually going to talk about some things that you can do to take better control of the summer selling season. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about three lists that will help you take better control of the summer selling season. Today's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our virtual sales camp program. I'll be talking about it a little bit later in the episode, but for now, if you want to jump ahead and you want to learn more, you can certainly visit the special sales page I've set up for this by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/summer19. Now, before we really get into this, I want to give you some context. Here we are. It's June 8th as of the recording of this podcast. Many of us are already starting to feel a little bit of pressure going into the summer selling season. Perhaps we're not where we really want to be. And isn't it kind of shitty that not only does it start the summer, but we're also going right into the halfway mark of the year? So there you are looking at your numbers and saying, hey, maybe I have to pick it up a little bit. But at the same time, you want to pick it up a little bit. The rest of the world is saying, hey, call me back at the end of summer. Call me back, if you're here in the States, after Labor Day. And then there's another thing that's going on. And I don't know if it's that I never truly grew up. And I think if you listen to this podcast, we're probably the same way. We probably have the same sick sense of humor. We've probably never matured past the sixth grade level in terms of shit that makes us laugh that we shouldn't be laughing at. But I have, and this isn't even funny what I'm going to say. I don't even know why I queued it up by saying shit that makes us laugh that we shouldn't be laughing, because what I'm about to talk about is just sad. I don't know about you, but when it gets nice out and the sun is shining, it becomes really hard sometimes not to just do what experts refer to as screwing off and just saying to yourself, you could easily justify it. You know what? I could go to the beach today. I could knock off early today. I can get a head start on that camping trip. I can get a head start on drinking beers and smoking cigars over at Casa de Castain, or I could make cold calls to people that aren't answering the phone over the summer because they're on vacation and they're only going to tell me to call me back in the fall. I mean, that's the perception. I'm not saying that's true, but that's what we're battling. So a few years ago, when I started my business, I almost went out of business as quickly as I went into business, which would be pathetic considering that I sell sales training and I'm teaching people how not to go out of business. How crazy would that be if within seconds of starting up, my business died? That would really be a testimonial to how much I sucked as a sales trainer. But seriously, I almost went out of business because what happened was I started my business end of March, beginning of April 2011, and I want you to kind of count down with me. Don't do it out loud because somebody's going to see you talking to the computer, talking to yourself in your car, and you're going to get a random drug test. So I want you to count with me, kind of like silent reading, okay, to yourself here. But count from, let's just say, April to the end of June, right? What do we have? One, two, three, about 3 months, almost four. So here I am starting up my business. I'm not even 3 to 4 months in, and then everything falls off a cliff with everybody starting in with that call me back in September shit. And there I am, and I'm saying, this is great. I'm going to be dead before I started. I really did not have a lot of time to ramp up, because I was no sooner doing stuff. If you've ever started a business, you know what I'm talking about. doing stuff with the accountant. I had to go and we made it the business an LLC. So now there's a whole process with filing it and you're dealing with the lawyers and everything, setting up the business account, setting up the checks, doing printing so that I can, I came from the printing industry, so I have to support my friends in the printing industry by sending out some direct mail, making announcements, all kinds of stuff going on. So all of a sudden, summer comes around and I was screwed. So before we dig into these lists, the first thing that I am going to be beating the heck out of this summer season is this one thing. Summer comes every single year. It wasn't just invented. The same way Christmas time and the holidays didn't just spring up. I'm thinking like 2,000 plus years here it's been going on. And yet we always seem so shocked and bewildered that we're under the gun because P.S. we didn't do anything months before to ramp up. So here's my suggestion before we really dive into these lists. If you're feeling any pressure right now, my job is not to make you feel bad and say, told you so. It's for you to learn from my mistakes. Right now, I'm showing you my scar and saying this scar right here almost put me out of business. It was almost a fatal blow. Now, the way that you avoid that is by starting, like picking up the pace a lot early. You don't wait until June 8th to say, oh my gosh, things are about to go dead on me. Let me pick up the pace. I'm an optimist, and I really don't want to say it's too late. But what I'm here to tell you is that it would have been a heck of a lot better if you started running at a quicker pace and getting more aggressive about things and doing more, making more calls, sending out more things, doing more things on LinkedIn, if you started that months ago. So make a note to self and go one better. Grab your smartphone, pull over to the side of the road, of course. Go into your calendar and set an alert a few months earlier this next year so that you're ahead of the game. So having said that, I'm going to get down off my soapbox and get down to business. There are three lists that I started to compile. I swore to myself that after that experience I had in my first year, I was never going to experience it again because it was just really scary and I wasn't in the mood to have my dream just completely fall through the cracks. So I devised three lists that ever since then I've been keeping. Let's go into list number one. List number one is going to be a list. I want you to make every one of these lists that we're talking about a list of compelling reasons why people need to either meet with you now and or really and or buy from you now. So compelling or list number one is a list of compelling reasons why people need to meet with you now, buy from you now. And we'll get into the reasons for this list in a moment. But there are all kinds of reasons why people could possibly want to meet with you now or could be convinced to meet with you now, I think is a better way to put it. Be convinced to meet with you now and or convinced to buy from you now versus after Labor Day and in the fall and in September or whatever. And some of them might be financial. Some of them could have to do with time lost. One of the things that shocked me when I looked at it, again, because we're so used to the summer being the summertime, but many people experience a really big loss of business over the summertime. And it all washes out, hopefully, because you may have other seasons that are your busy seasons or whatever. But especially if you're kicking back and saying, well, who's going to want to meet with me anyway? I want you to realize something. The time that can be lost over the summer, when you weigh out those 10 weeks, we're looking at about 20% of your year. When you start looking at it that way, it can become more dramatic. Now, that's not me going back up on the soapbox again. It kind of was for a second. I just kind of snuck up on that, but I snuck back down before anybody noticed I was up on the soapbox. But this is more for you to be thinking about when you're coming up with compelling reasons, and one of them being time lost. Because your clients, your prospects, when they give you that summer blow off, they're basically losing 20% of their year. So if you have a solution that could save them time, save them money, save them aggravation, and they're looking to put off embracing that solution, well, the way to look at it is those 10 weeks is basically a 20% loss. So I want you to think about it that way. Also, there are competitive reasons why people might want to either meet with you now or buy from you now. One of the things we always talk about in the coaching program is that when you're dealing with the C-level, sometimes we forget how competitively they're wired. They did not get to their level in the organization without being competitive. They are wired that way. So these are the people who, if you talk to them about keeping up with the proverbial Joneses, you know, their competitors, those things, those conversations are going to resonate with them. If you talk to them about how other people are embracing a certain type of technology and they're not, and you're not a dick about it, I mean, that's important too, but you're having just a real straight up conversation from the heart, as we always say, passing the kitchen table test, where it's a conversation, like something almost as if you'd have with them at the kitchen table over a cup of coffee, a dialogue, and you talk to them about those things, and then you factor in this idea of them willing to wait and what that might do to them competitively. Well, that could give their competitors a 20% jump on them. If they're on it now and these prospects and clients are waiting 10 weeks, that's 20% more time on that solution that competitors have. So I want you to think about that, but I want you to understand why we're doing this. Because you're going to be hearing a lot of people saying to you, call me back in the fall, call me back after Labor Day. You know what? We really don't do anything over the summer. Let's talk again at another point. Let's talk again at year end. And there's a few things you need to know about this. The first thing, I'm going to get on and off this one because some of you are going to think that I'm just, all of a sudden I turn into one of those sleazy salespeople. And I'm not, I promise you. But it's really the way I feel. And I think if you take a moment to think about it, you might realize that there's some truth in this. I think part of the reason why people tell us to call them back after the summer, or call them back when it's year end and they say, call me back after Christmas, call me back in the new year, it's because they can. It's one of the things that they go unchallenged on by salespeople. I think there's at least two other things that they go unchallenged on. When they say not interested, most sales reps tap out. And I don't mean not interested after you've met with them. I mean you are calling them. You are emailing them to set up an appointment. Yeah, sorry, thanks, but no thanks, not interested, that type of thing. And we just tap out. That's the usual response to not interested. The other spot where I find that we tap out is many times the whole send me some information thing. And we either just pass. Why are they wasting my time here? It sounds like they're just not interested and they don't know how to tell me it. And we don't bother with that. And we just don't bother really having a good rebuttal for that. But this whole summer thing and the whole end of year, call me back after the holidays thing. Yes, I do think there are a good amount of businesses, in fact, that it just makes more sense to meet with them in the fall. But I also think for some people, they're experiencing what we experience. And what do we experience? We experience the sun shining, the kids are home from school. Why would I possibly put another damn thing on my plate when I can't even get out of the office on time to begin with? So now we're going to add more shit to the pile. So again, it's not because these people have a poor work ethic or screw them. I don't say it in a way to demean them. I'm saying this so that you start to come equipped with a rebuttal. So that's the first thing I want you to think about over the summer. And yeah, I do think, like I said before, there are some legitimate reasons for waiting until the fall, but you don't find out what they are until you have a conversation about it. So one of the things that will go a long way is doing this exercise. You make a list of all the compelling reasons why you should meet now versus the fall. And if you're into a sales cycle with a particular prospect, buying now versus buying in the fall. So I want you to think about that, and it'll help you with your objections, because now you, if you have a list of compelling reasons, now in your rebuttal you can offer a compelling reason to meet now, buy now. Also, it can help you with some of your talking points. It could help you with relevant seasonal types of messaging. You can now send a more relevant email. Why not take advantage of the summer selling season? I mean, you are now afforded messaging that is very specific to summer, and they are experiencing summer. Summer is on their mind. So instead of closing our eyes and doing some you can't see me type of nonsense, let's go and embrace the summer and find ways that we can leverage it. But your first step is going to be coming up with that list of compelling reasons. Use that for your rebuttal when people say, call me back after the summer. Use it for talking points. Use it to expedite your deals. Use it to approach companies with your messaging. So there's a lot that you can do with it. That's list number one. List number two, we call this one the 10 things exercise. So this is going to be a list of, you guessed it, 10 things. Now, if you are slowing down over the summer, which many of us do, then you theoretically should have more time to do some of the things you've been putting off. So why not take advantage of it? And again, I'm not saying write off your whole summer. Don't do an ounce of prospecting. Don't even try. Just coast until September. I'm saying, in addition to hopefully ramping up your efforts while the rest of the world, all your competitors, are pissing and moaning about the summer, you should be ramping up your efforts. You should be doing more at a time when there's less noise. But in addition to that, one of the things that you absolutely should be doing, or in this case, 10 of the things that you absolutely should be doing, are the things that you normally don't have time for. So this next list is called the 10 things list. Let me give you some examples. Last summer, going into the summertime, I said to myself, self, your LinkedIn profile sucks. And I was probably a lot nicer to myself than that. But seriously, I wouldn't say it sucked, but the LinkedIn changes stuff like every other day. And back then they called it the summary section. Now I think they just changed it like 3 days ago or something. It's now the about me section or about or whatever. But I realized that I really didn't have anything there that would compel anyone to care. Seriously, yes, it sucked. It was awful. Let's just say it as it was. But I had encountered a few people that took this approach to telling people about themselves more as a narrative, a story. So I kept putting it off. But now, lo and behold, I had all this extra time over the summer. So I said, you know, why don't I use this time to tell the story? So that's what I did on LinkedIn. I created a much better narrative, if you will, telling them about me. And I also took that same exercise, I have a website, and I used it to change the About Paul page. So I used that. I had multi-purpose for that. So that's one of the things that I did. Again, that's something that I normally don't have the time to do because I really focus mostly on, I call it the three drivers of sales success. Either something that is going to get me an account, right? So new account acquisition, wowing or retaining an account, wowing and retaining an account, and of course, growing the business. So and usually when I focus on those things, I'm not, usually don't have the time to focus on a lot of really long-term things. I do some long-term strategies and tactics and all that, but mostly there's a lot of short-term things that I'm working on because of my sales cycle. So really didn't have the time to do that. But some other things that I've done and what I'm doing this year on my 10 things exercise, I'm taking some more time for creative approaches that typically take a little bit more time than the other prospecting efforts that I'm embracing. Why? Because I have more time now. I'm also sending more handwritten intros over the summer. Why? Because I have more time. That's on my 10 things list. Send more handwritten intros. I'm also going to be doing, because I have more time, more videos both on LinkedIn. I haven't done one in a while. But I'm also going to be doing more embedded videos in my prospecting efforts, where I can embed a video of me calling you by name. Let's say your name is Jane. Hopefully it is. If not, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people out there saying, why did this idiot just call me Jane? But your name is Jane. Now I can address you in that quick video, and it's a really cool approach. So, but it takes a bit of time, because now I'm not just plugging in some template that I have, but I have more time. So I'm doing things like that. I'm also, or maybe it's just some general suggestions for you. Perhaps you could, if you sell a product or service that most people could use, and you could pretty much go door to door with it and call most businesses, and you have a local territory, there's a tactic that I teach, and it's called drive-bys. And coming from New York and hearing this New York accent, you hear this this podcaster talking about drive-bys. You're probably thinking about the thing where you point the gun sideways and you off somebody. Now, this is a horrible term, but there's actually a sales term, and it's a tactic that I teach. It's called drive-bys. And what you do is you just hit the record feature on your phone, because I want you to be safe when you're driving, and drive through some of the businesses in your territory. Drive through an industrial park, for example, or an office park, and you're going to just keep that record button on, and you're going to sort of jot them down verbally. So in other words, you're driving down the road, there's ABC Company on Main Street. ABC Company, 123 Main Street. Oh look, XYZ Company, 789 Main Street. And that's what you're going to do. Then later on, you get back, you transcribe it, and you start your research, start getting it into Salesforce or whatever CRM you use. But again, it's a time-consuming thing, but you have more time now to do that. So that's something that you can do. You could re-examine your cadence. Some of you are clinging way too tightly to the phone, and you don't have anything else. You think that nothing else has been invented since the phone, and then right away, people usually get shitty right about now with me, thinking I am dissing the fact of using the phone. I'm not. I still use the phone. But I'm also here to tell you that, no, the phone, the cold call isn't lonely. It isn't dead. I feel it's lonely. And it needs companionship from other things, and not just email. So if you're sitting there saying, oh yeah, I do other things other than phone, I email. No, everybody uses the phone and email. What about things like LinkedIn? What about things like traditional networking? What about creative approaches? How about drop-ins and drop-offs and FedEx and whatever the hell else? I mean, I'm just sitting here grasping at straws. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. But what about those other things? So, but re-examine your cadence, and not just what you're using, but look at even how often or the time that elapses between attempts. So if you're calling and then you're immediately emailing, I don't know, you might want to pull back on that. Or perhaps the very first thing you do is you always send a FedEx, and then there's a thing that you do a few days later, and then there's something you do. Maybe you need to adjust the time in between. Maybe you need to change around the sequence of these attempts. So, but now you have the time to look at things like that. So the other thing that you can do is, why don't you look at the emails that you're sending? I hope that you have a few email templates. Most people don't. And I know that most people don't, not only because I train them, but because as a business owner, I'm on the receiving end of a lot of really bad emails. And what I found, and this is this really awful trend that I've seen over the last 2 and 3 years, and it's getting worse. It's where somebody has one email in their bag of tricks, and a few days later, instead of sending me another email, or I mean, who knows, maybe like picking up a phone or approaching me on LinkedIn or sending me something in the mail or something creative, I'm getting the same crappy email forwarded with a little note saying, hey, just wanted to see if you had a chance to read my email. And then they get extra creative and they forward the same one again a few days or a week later saying, wanted to give this a bump to the top of your inbox. And then a few days after that, I get a breakup email. Because, I mean, it's been a whole 10 days here that I haven't answered any of your suck-ass emails. And I get a breakup email. And the breakup email is the same email that they forwarded 2 and 3 times to me with basically something where they're going to close the file or I don't know, let the air out of my tires or kick the shit out of me if I don't take them. Whatever it is, they're ending it after 10 days. So it might be a good time to reexamine your cadence, look at how many different emails that you're using, maybe start to build an arsenal of these emails. Perhaps you could even meet with some other people that you work with. And in fact, this one guy that I used to work with years ago, he was a sales manager with the company that I work with in the printing industry. And he was telling me one of the things that he does with his team, I don't know, he does it maybe 2 or 3 times a year. They call it an email clinic. And everybody goes and gets themselves tested. No, I'm kidding. That's what I felt like. Like, they're checking for STDs during this whole exercise. No, what they do is they all bring copies of the emails they've been using, and they critique them. And they're not being idiots. They're not trying to put people in therapy here. They're giving honest feedback, and they're ripping each other off of ideas. And that's what you should be doing on a sales team. Why continue to reinvent the wheel? If I have a really cool letter that's getting me in front of people, you should be ripping that off from me. And you should have a forum where you have the ability to do that. And also allow me to rip off an idea from you. Maybe you have a really cool call to action that's working for you. I want to rip that off of you. Okay, so that's something that you can do. How about on your list of 10 things? How about ideas for your clients? We always talk about adding value, but then nobody knows what that. What is adding value anyway? One of the ways you can add value is by giving a no strings attached idea to a client. Or how about on your list of 10 things, surprise some of your clients with something, again, just because. How about on your list of 10 things, pick some of your accounts and go back in and do a checkup. And during this checkup, do a needs analysis. Most sales reps make a horrific mistake when it comes to their accounts. Here it is, in the nutshell. When they are courting that account, they do a needs analysis, right? We were always taught that in sales. But then the account, the prospect becomes their account. And then the last time they did a needs analysis is back during the engagement, before the marriage. So in other words, some of you that have accounts 2 and 3 years, the last time you sat down and did a good, thorough needs analysis was 2 or 3 years ago. And that's not me making fun of you or beating up on you. In your defense, if you have a really good account, what happens is there's always a project you're working on. So in a way that you can't control, it's become very transactional because they have a need. You're talking about that need. You call them up just to see if there's anything going on, anything. Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, we want to talk about this project. So your questions become really centered around the project, as opposed to where your questions were when you were courting them, which was being a good doctor, giving them a good exam. So that's something you could do over the summer. You should be doing that year round, but that's something you can do. The other thing you can do on your list of 10 things, and again, I'm just trying to give you ideas. I'm hoping you're coming up with your own list of 10 things, but it's a good time to survey clients and get feedback from them. It's a good time also, and I hope this one's on your list. It's a good time for you to learn. I love how many of us always say, I don't have time to learn, which is, to me, it is just a really shitty thing to say if you're in sales. You have to make the time to learn. But you can't have it both ways, folks. You can't sit and complain about how dead it is over the summer without doing something about it. And this is one of the things you can do, or 10 of the things you can do. And certainly put on your list some learning things that you've been putting off. Now you have the time, and it's going to benefit you. First of all, some of the things that you can learn can benefit you immediately. But other things are going to help you. When things start picking up again in the fall, you're going to have these incredible, or these wicked new skills that you could be leveraging. So the third list is a fun list. And the third list is your summer bucket list. This one I owe to my son, Paul. My son, Paul, came back, and he's always a happy kid. All of my kids, who are now grown, by the way, I'm calling them kids still, they're all happy, and I love that. And so Paul comes back, and I'll never forget, it was probably right around this time, almost 10 years ago. I think it was about 9 years ago. And he comes back, and he's just in an amazing mood. I say, hey, how was your day? You're all in a great mood. What's going on? He goes, Dad, me and my friends came up with the summer bucket list. And I said to him, well, what's a summer bucket list? What the heck is that? And he was telling me, it's really a list of things that we want to do for over the summertime. And he was telling me about all kinds of stuff, going to concerts and how they wanted to have a party or whatever. And there's probably all kinds of other stuff on there. He didn't want me to know as his parent, because I think back then he was probably 14 years old at that point, somewhere around there. So there's probably things on that list that he was excited about. He wasn't going to tell Dad. Maybe scoring a case of beer or some shit. But anyway, because that's what I was doing at that age. But anyway, so let me tell you about some of the things on my summer bucket list. Because see, what we're trying to do here, folks, the first two lists were business related. The first list was all about being prepared for people to give you the blow off. So now you're going into the summer armed. You've got muscles that you've been working. You've been training. You're like Neo in the Matrix. You know Kung Fu now. You are ready to beat the shit out of somebody. You are raring to go, locked and loaded, baby. The second one is also business related, and it's going to keep you busy, and it's going to excite you, because you know by the end of the summer, you will have accomplished those 10 things. And who knows, maybe you get so excited, you whip through the 10 things, you're going to do another 5 or another 10 things. So at the end of the summer, think about how awesome you're going to feel knowing you accomplished all these things. But then what's going to happen is the third one is all about you, because we said at the beginning, we're still kids deep down, aren't we? We're like big kids that never grew up. I know I am. And to me, if things have slowed down and the sun is shining and I know I can go to the beach, and I should be at the beach, and I'd love to be. I'm like that little kid now who has to go to summer school and staring out the window while all the kids are playing outside, and you're stuck in the classroom listening to some idiot go on about algebra. So we experience that as adults. So we have to do something about it. And this is where the summer bucket list comes in. So on my summer bucket list, and I'm not going to go through every one of them, because some of them I call Nunya. You know what Nunya is? Nunya business. So I don't want to get into some of them, but I will share a few. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know I love camping. This year, instead of doing 6 camping trips over the summer, I am going to do 4 camping trips over the summer. And of those 4 camping trips, I plan on doing 2 of them with my son. Every year, we have this kind of unwritten rule, now that he's older, that we want to keep the tradition alive. We've been camping together since, I think, now my other son is 23 years old. We've been camping since he was about 7 or 8. So we've been doing this a while with something we want to just keep the tradition alive. But as you know, things become more complicated the older your kids get. So he's in college. He's juggling 2 jobs. He's been dating this girl now for about 3 years, I believe, maybe 3.5 years. So there's a lot of things pulling him in a million different directions. So we want to make sure that we get this in the bank. Here's the good news, folks, before I continue. I'm really excited telling you about the camping because I've already gotten 1 of the 4 in the bank, and I already got 1 of them with my son in the bank. So we did that. Now, the other thing on the summer bucket list, I live 15 minutes away from some of the really nicest beaches around. And it always depresses me at the end of the summer when I have that oh shit moment. Oh shit, summer's over and I didn't get to the beach at all, or I only got there once. So this summer, I want to get there at least every other week. And when I go every other week, when I say at least every other week, I'm probably going to go every week. But every other week on my bucket list, I want to go with my wife. And we went a few times last summer, and we went either early in the morning or we went towards sunset. And it was just so nice. And it just recharged us. It felt like we got away on a mini vacation. So that's something. Also, I like to cook. So one of my items on the summer bucket list is to learn 5 summer recipes. I want to learn 5 new songs on the acoustic guitar. I've been playing guitar a long time. And as of this podcast, I've been writing a blues instrumental that I want to finish by the end of the summer. It's a little bit on the, it's a little more complicated, some of the picking and some of the stuff I'm doing with it, and I'm experimenting around with it. And plus, when you're into creativity, sometimes it's hard to just say, okay, and I'm done. You just keep trying different things. But I want to force myself to not have an unfinished piece out there. I want to have it done by the end of the summer. I want to do at least 1 overnight with my wife. There's something really cool that I've been wanting to do for over 20 years. So this one excites me. It may not excite you. You might say, my gosh, Castaigne is like a really cheap date here. But there's this thing that I've been wanting to do for years. But out here on Long Island, there's a lot of history. And what happened here on Long Island is it was referred to at one point as the Gold Coast. And these people with all kinds of money were building these incredible summer residences back turn of the century and 1920s, 1930s, and these incredible mansions. And some of them were huge waterfront mansions that they would only live in for the 10 weeks a year or three months a year or whatever. And some of these mansions are still around, obviously passed on to either other generations. Some of them have been donated to the state. Others are in ruins, unfortunately. But there is a Gold Coast tour that I've been hearing about for years. And I believe part of it, you go around by boat and you see them right from Long Island Sound. And I believe part of this tour is you also go into one of the mansions and they serve tea and scones and you go on a tour and everything else. So I thought that was kind of cool. And if for nothing else, it would make me feel very cultured telling you guys that I hung out and had tea and scones instead of a whiskey sour and a cigar that I usually have. So, you know, maybe I'm upping my game a little bit here, culturally anyway. I have not been to Little Italy in a long time, and we have this tradition every Sunday in my family that we all get together and have a family dinner. And we've been doing this now for over about 1.5 years now, I believe. And I was thinking it'd be kind of cool to kind of take it on the road and go and have one of these family dinners in Little Italy. So that's on the bucket list. But enough about me. How about you? What should be on your summer bucket list? Let's review very quickly. List number 1, a list of compelling reasons why people should either meet with you now or buy from you now. That's going to help you with your with the stall of Call Me Back after summer. Or you know what? Let's pick up the conversation about buying this machine or the solution from you in the fall. The next thing, the 10 things exercise. This is going to help you to stay very focused and do some things that you normally wouldn't have time for. That's the second list that you can do. The third one is the fun one. This is where you get to actually have fun and have a life and create a summer bucket list. And there you have it, folks. The three lists that you need to have going into the summertime. I told you at the beginning of the podcast that we have this upcoming summer sales camp program. It's a virtual program, and it consists of four pre-recorded sessions, which everyone has been thanking me for left and right when I do things like this, because they don't have to show up at a certain time. They can go at their own pace. So if you're going to be taking some vacations this summer and then really hitting it hard with the prospecting, and you don't want to take time away from those things, but you would have time maybe later in the day or on the weekend or whatever, great, you can go at your own pace. So there are four pre-recorded sessions, and the four sessions are how to really get a decision maker's attention. Kind of important, right? We're going to talk about a multi-channel prospecting approach. Again, the average sales rep, they cling way too tightly to phone and email. There are other things that you can and should be doing. I'm going to show you how to use them. Most importantly, how to get them to work in unison instead of a siloed approach, which is what a lot of sales reps are guilty of. Session three, maximizing your account potential. This is something we haven't talked enough about here. Talking about growing your business, growing these accounts, keeping in touch with them in a way that you're not always looking for a handout, or it's the end of the month and you're trying to make your numbers or whatever. Also, shoring up those accounts so they're not vulnerable to your competitors. Session four, we're going to talk about expediting your deals, which I think is timely, not only because of the summer, but what's going to happen is you're going to come back from the summer, you're going to be licking your wounds, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be heading rapidly into year end, and we're going to want to close as many of those deals as we can without making people think that we're desperate and hard up and annoying them. The program comes with some really cool things. There's going to be over 50 templates that I'm going to be sharing with everyone. There are over 75 tactics that are going to be shared during this program. There are over 7 PDFs that I'll be sharing. There will be homework assignments. Now, this is the part where you're going to say Castain sucks. But what's really cool about this program is that you're not just buying this and I go cash everyone's checks and say, screw you, I've got my money, thanks, and later. No, we're actually going to be interacting. So I'm going to be your coach for those four sessions. And as your coach, there are going to be homework assignments. There's only going to be four, one for each session. But now you get to submit them into me, right? And I will gladly give you feedback. The other thing is that there is always going to be a secret resource page with additional, wait for it, resources and articles and PDFs. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/summer19, but there is a deadline I want you to be aware of. This program, we're going to keep it around for a little while. I'm not going to be pulling the plug on this one until toward the end of July. So you've got some time on it. But if you go to that page that I told you about on yoursalesplaybook.com/summer19 and you scroll down, there is a special, right? There's a special price that I'm offering. And what it is that if you have multiple salespeople and you want to be able to get everybody trained, but you don't want to have to sell off a kidney to do it, this program, first of all, it goes for $375 for all those things I told you about. So it's very affordable. But what if you have multiple sales reps? You could actually train your entire sales team. I don't care if you have 800 sales reps, like the company I worked for did before I started my own business. I don't care if you have 800 sales reps. I don't care if you have 20 sales reps. I don't care if you have 10 sales reps. You can train everyone on this program for a flat rate of $1,200. So if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/summer19, check it out. But in the meantime, make sure you get going on these lists here. I got enough here to keep you out of trouble for the rest of the summer. With that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our blog at YourSalesPlaybook.com/blog.